Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
All right. How y'all doing? My name's Adrian, but my wife, who's sitting right over there, but I'm not going to draw any attention to her because she told me not to, so I would never do that in a million years. I would never draw attention. There's no way I'm going to draw attention to her. So my name's Adrian, but my wife's name's Lisa. She's 5'4", comes up about right here. She has blonde hair. How many of you guys have heard me speak before? Raise your hand. Did I talk about my wife last time? That's right. Who's your daddy? She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox. Cha-ching! Hurry up, let's go. I want all the married men to stand up. Take your time, hurry up, let's go. All the married men stand up, let's go, hurry up. Do we have anybody engaged in the house? Anybody engaged? Stand up and raise your hand. Let me see your hands. My engaged guys, yes. Yes. Stand up, my engaged guys, stand up. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. You know the rule here. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to think about what you're gonna say, then you get 10 seconds to brag about your wives out loud. To show these young men in the room that it's possible for you to be a man, Jim Matthews, Sheriff Matthews, can you just give me one little pop? Just give me a little pop. Come on, just give me a little pop. Okay, forget it. Okay, so it's possible for you to be a man and love your wife. It's not some sissy. There's a professional football player. Just give me a little pop. Yeah, bullware. Okay, so watch this now. All right, here it is. All right, here it is. When I say go, you got 10 seconds to brag about your wives out loud. Whoever's the loudest gets a major award. You hear me, balcony? Whoever's the loudest gets a major award. On your marks, get set. Not very good at math. Go! Turn it up. Turn it up. 5 seconds. Good job, good job. You can sit down, you can sit down, you can sit down. I have no idea who the loudest was. Who was the loudest? Was it Bill? Was it Bill? Were you the loudest too? Okay, it wasn't him. Who was the loudest? I don't know who the loudest was. Was it over here? Okay. All right, here it is. You ready? Wait a minute, are you married or are you engaged? Yes. Engaged, yes. Okay, so here's your award. You ready? It's a major award, fragile, okay? You ready for this? Attaboy. Oh, sorry, attaboys. Okay, good. All right, good. I want to, the name of this message is My Secret. It's my secret to a victorious Christian life because I need to tell you something about my own personal life. I was called into ministry. My president's right over here, Dwight Robertson. Good to see you. And all my posse and stuff, guys. Good to see all y'all here. Welcome to Moe's. Okay, so watch this now. I was called into ministry by the Lord God Almighty to preach the gospel. I've been preaching now for 29 years. I've been in 37 countries in 48 states. If anybody needs me to minister in Hawaii, I will suffer for Jesus in Hawaii. I will. So I've been traveling a lot. I have a lot of stories and stuff. But back when I was called into ministry, I had this amazing war. And I still have that war a little bit here and there. But I had an amazing war with low self-esteem. Like, how in the world would it be possible for me to be able to go and preach anywhere? Look at me. You understand? I mean, it's beauty and the beast. You understand what I'm saying? Now I know she'll never leave me. You probably don't know it. Okay, so I'm just saying. I mean, I had this war with a low self-esteem until I was in Brad Mullen's class, a theology class right up here on the hill in seminary. And I saw this message that I'm getting ready to share with you this morning. I saw this message on the board. He put slides. It's back when we had, you know, little graph thing, plastic slides. Okay, forget it. So he put a slide on the board. I went, wow, that's pretty impressive. Then another slide, another slide, another slide. Then he got to the final slide, and I went, ooh. And I'm here to tell you, it struck me. I started crying in class, and everybody's looking at me like they're embarrassed by me. I was just crying. I was slobbering. I was just weeping. The class was dismissed. I sat in that seat up there in the middle room in the biggest classroom up there. I sat in that seat for another hour just weeping and weeping and weeping. I thought, that what I'm getting ready to show you is absolutely impossible. It can't be true, but it is true. It's true concerning me, and I'm telling you here this morning, it's true concerning you. Now, you might not have the same reaction I had because I'm an emotional guy, blah. I cried during up, okay? You understand what I'm saying? three times, okay? So just shut your face. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm an emotional guy. I mean, I cried my eyes out because this couldn't be true. But it is. I'm going to share it with you. Go ahead and put that first slide on the board. This is Adam and Eve before the fall. God was with them. They walked with God in the cool of the garden. The two most holy people who ever lived on this planet other than Jesus. The two godliest people ever. No sin before the fall. You understand what I'm saying? Perfect walk with God. Awesome relationship with the Lord God Almighty. God is with them. Go to the next slide. Adam and Eve after the fall. Sin is arrows up. You see the arrows going up. And that vine around them, they have what's called a sin nature. In other words, it's natural for them to sin. That's Adam and Eve after the fall. I'll never forget, I don't know if I'm allowed to share the story, Lisa, but when we were giving birth to Rachel, Lisa said really loud, "I hate Eve," really loud. You probably don't know why, but let's go. Okay, so then go to the next slide. This is what Watchman Nee, I like his book on this, called The Normal Christian. This is what Watchman Nee, I like the term, so I've adopted it for myself. This is what I would call the normal Christian. Now, sin is still there, but the arrows are down, no longer has dominion. We don't have a sin nature. We have a flesh that we war against, but it's not a white dog versus a black dog, whichever one you feed the most wins. It's a bull mastiff versus a chihuahua. You understand what I'm saying? I have a dog that's a mixed breed between a chihuahua and a wiener dog, and the breed's name is Chiweeny. I don't know why I have that dog. I have no idea. Don't ask me, okay? So I'm sorry. It's ugly. You could punt it. All I know is it's that's the sin. Sin still is there and it's still nasty, but it no longer has dominion. But I want to show you something. Listen, I want to show you something. Why can't I jump off the stage anymore? I want to show you something. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking it. I don't know if it came out. Squirrel. Okay, so watch this now. I want to show you something that completely and dramatically, I need to let you know, I have preached all over the world. You understand? I was in Cairo, Egypt, and I felt the ground shake. And I said, "Do you guys have earthquakes?" They said, "No, that was the Holy Spirit." I said, "Oh." So, I've seen some pretty intense stuff in my life. Pretty intense stuff all over the world preaching the gospel. And I want to show you the secret to maintaining intimacy with God is this secret right here. There's something inside this circle that changed everything for me. I go from warring and low self-esteem, thinking there's no way I could do anything to do anything for the kingdom of God, to let's go on fire in fuego. I don't know what language, but it's in fuego. Where's my Mexico? Okay, so my point here, let me just get to the point. Do you want to know what's inside that circle? Oh, I'm sorry. If you don't want to know, we're done. Do you want to know what's inside the circle or not?
Yeah.
What are you guys, Tennessee fans? Come on. Come on. Come on. Did I say that out loud? I'm just kidding. Get a job. Read the book of Job. So watch this now. Do you want to know what's inside the circle or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Take it off. Just take it off the screen. All right. That's just a setup, by the way. That's my job as an evangelist. Okay, so watch this now. What I'm going to do is I can't really tell you what's inside the circle. I have to set it up. You have to get to the spot where you were thinking the same way I was thinking when I realized this truth there. Because I want to show you something about God that changed everything in my life. God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. All throughout Scripture, God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. All throughout Scriptures, God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I was in Israel. This man, where's my Israel people? Israel people, was that not amazing? I mean, everything changed. Jesus didn't have PowerPoint, but he had the power to point. It's all right there. So I was in Israel, and we went to Mount Carmel, and I saw the spot where I call the wide receiver of the Old Testament hung out. His name was Elijah. He's a wide receiver. You ever see wide receivers take their helmets off and just stare at the crowd? Whatever. So, I mean, this guy was like a wide receiver, overconfident. He goes against the 850 Baal and Asherah prophets. Against one, 850 against one. I mean, he's your side. And I don't know, but you're a big dude. Okay, so watch this now. So he's a confident guy. So he says to them, all of Israel turned their hearts away from God. And he cries out to Israel, how long will you waver between gods? If God is God, serve him. But if Baal is God, serve him. So let's have a competition. Whoever's God is God's going to bring fire out of heaven. I saw the mark where they think it happened. I stood underneath the mark and looked up and said, you know what? I better get out the way here just in case. I remember doing that. I got pictures of it. It's a pretty cool thing right there. And so the Israelites said, yeah, Elijah said, let's have a competition. Whoever's God is God will bring fire from heaven and lick up a sacrifice. He said, y'all go first. He was a southern guy. Y'all go first. So he let the 850 prophets of Baal go first. They do their little sacrifice thing. They're dancing around the altar. I don't want to show that, but they're dancing around the altar, whatever. At midday, he begins to taunt them. Really? Hey, where's your God? Is he asleep? You guys know the story. Is he on vacation? Is he busy? It says in NIV, which means is he using the restroom? He's mocking them. They cut themselves with spears and begin to scream and shout louder. 6 hours later, Jim, Mike, Geneva, how you guys doing right here? Okay, so 6 hours later, I picture them laying on the ground going, because they've been dancing for 10 hours around this altar. He says, it's my turn. He repairs the altar of God, puts the rocks up there. You know the story. Puts the wood up there, puts the bull on there, pours 12 jugs of water on top of this. The whole thing is, he steps back and says this. You see, you need to know God goes through extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. So he steps back and says, oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today, oh God, that I've done all these things at your command. Show these people that you desire to have their hearts turned back to you again. It doesn't say, steps, okay. It doesn't say that he stepped back, but I thank Bill that he did. I bet he went, hey, let's get out the way, just in case. Whaka! Fire came out of heaven. Licked up all the meat, all the wood, all the stones, all the soil, all the water. The whole Israelite nation falls on their face and they scream out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. God goes through extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. When Jonah was being thrown overboard, at that point, this is very controversial. Dr. Smith, I may not ever be allowed to speak here again because of what I'm getting ready to say. This might be borderline heresy, so I got to be very careful. When Jonah was being thrown overboard, I don't think at that spot right there that he had yet read the book of Jonah. We good? We're good. You see, how many of you guys have seen VeggieTales? Raise your hand if you any VeggieTales. Give me the song. VeggieTales. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. Grow up. Okay, so watch this now. What is that, 47 nights? Okay, so watch this. Fortnite. Forgot what I was saying. Squirrel, okay. We've seen VeggieTales. I saw the little thing throughout there. Jonah was being thrown overboard in a hurricane, for goodness sake. He would rather die than follow God. Amazing. But God goes through extreme measures to bring the lost to himself. So a whale. I remember when I was in undergraduate school, I won't tell you where it was, but the professor of religion in my school tore out the book of Jonah and said, this couldn't happen, and threw it behind her back. I went, chicka. Because I just got saved. It wasn't here. I was here in seminary. But it was another school. I won't tell you where it is. It starts with F and ends in Ehrman. So watch this now. I'm not going to say it. So watch this. So I'm sitting there, and we could do one paper on a book in the Bible and get 75% of our grade from it. Guess which book of the Bible I chose? Jonah. I proved scientifically that you could actually live in the belly of a whale for 3 days. It actually happened one time off the Falkland Islands, according to National Geographic magazine. It actually happened one time. A guy cut 3 days. He was in the belly of the whale after whale hunting. The whale took him out to sea. They splashed water on him. He was fine. Seriously, they were going to bury him, but he was fine. So I got an A+ on the paper. I mean, who's your daddy? All I know is very intense story there. But look at Jonah in the bottom of the Mediterranean there. He's going, okay, where am I? I thought I was going to be dead. Bluga. Bluga. Okay, I'll go. Probably the greatest revival in the entire Old Testament, give or take a few. I appreciate that, guys, in here, theologians. Appreciate you guys sitting over here. So the greatest revival in the Old Testament, Jonah's walking through Nineveh, 120,000 people don't know the right hand from the left hand, maybe children, not sure, but 600,000 men we think in the whole big city. He's walking through saying, in 40 days, if you don't repent, you're all gonna burn. Greatest revival message ever. In 40 days, if you don't repent, Jonah did not wanna be there. In 40 days, if you don't repent, you're all gonna burn. The whole city, the king makes a law that all the people are supposed to repent of their sins, put on sack, even the cows, even the cows are supposed to repent. You guys have to go to a meet, good luck. What team are you? Softball, hit them in the mouth. Don't be some candy face. Hit them in the mouth, softball. Hey, get the rest of this message offline. I don't know what that means. Okay, so watch this now. So God goes through extreme measures of bringing loss to himself. One more real quick in the Old Testament. No. New Testament, no. In between Testaments, a seed falls to the ground that grows up into a tree that's cut down, that's shaped into a cross that his son would die on. Could God have stopped the seed? Yes, easily. But God goes through extreme measures to bring loss to himself. Extreme measure number 4. Go ahead and put that slide on the board. See, you need to know something about 1 Peter 1:12. The prophets and the kings longed to look into these things concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. They didn't understand. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, the Holy Spirit of God is with you, but then he'll be in you. There's some stuff that I want to show you something that shook me. See, it's my life verse in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. It says, this is the mystery of God kept hidden for ages and generations, but has now been revealed to the saints. This is the mystery of God. The Old Testament didn't know about this. David's saying, created me a clean heart, and we really can't sing that song necessarily. It's not a song for us. Because the Holy Spirit came out, and he played the harp, and then I don't know what that looked like just now, but just stay focused. I know I'm speaking your language so watch this. So this is an amazing, amazing truth. The mystery of God kept hidden for ages and generations, but has now been revealed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. You ready for it? It's C-H-R-I-S-T in you, the hope of glory. Wait a minute. If I had LeBron James inside of me, I'd be dunking on your face right now. I'd dunk on your face, right on your face. If I had, let's go back to my generation. If I had Michael Jordan, I would be the greatest basketball player ever. I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. Far greater than any basketball player. If I had Bach or Chopin, Chopin, if I had them inside of me, I could play. I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. I mean, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. This is the mystery kept hidden for ages. The Old Testament dudes didn't have it. We've got it. Oh, let's throw a little more in there, just in case you're wondering. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you're marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, ching, ching, guaranteeing your inheritance to the days of redemption. I've been sealed with the Spirit. Wait a minute, we're not done. John 14, 23, the Father has chosen to take up residence within us. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power, like right now, the infinite God. You know what that makes us in this room? Extreme measure number 4. A lot greater than the fire from heaven, than the whale, than the seed. God has chosen you to bear his image, to carry his glory, to walk. Can you imagine? Who on this planet is gonna stop me? Go to the next slide, watch this. Adam before the fall, holiest people who ever lived. It was at this point right here where I started to think. Go to the next slide. That's us. You're not getting it. One more slide. Something's been restored. Who on this planet could stop you? I don't know if you understand how powerful you are. You plus Christ. If you add $50 to an infinite number of dollars, do you change the infinite number of dollars? Math people, let me see your hands. Math people, I'm not one. Put your hand up, math people. Math people, just put your hand up. You're pointing at somebody. He's not going to put his hand up. I understand. There's so few of us in here. Okay, here it is. I appreciate you being humble. I'm writing a book right now on the four most humble people in the world and what the other three are doing. Okay, so watch this now. Only smart people get my joke. So watch this now. Math people, if you add $50 to an infinite number of dollars, you change the infinite number of dollars, yes or no? No, thank you, math dude. I hope that was a dude. Because it was no. Okay, good. If you add $5,000 to an infinite number of dollars, you change the infinite number of dollars. John Maxwell plus Christ is the same as anybody in this room plus Christ. Do you understand how powerful you are? If out of 100 times, how many times is God right when he says something about you? 105. Got to give him at least 5 bonus points. So let's practice. Out of 100 times, how many times is God right when he says something about you? How many times are you right if you disagree with him? Negative 5. How many times are you right if you disagree with him out of 100? Negative 5. A low self-esteem is simply believing the negative 5. All I want to believe now is that. Who on this planet can stop you? Who can stop you? If Christ is in you, I like the secondary condition of that Greek word, EI. Since Christ is in you, who could stop you? All my seniors, stand up. All my seniors, stand up, please. Seniors, take your time, hurry up, just stand up. We'll start in the back there. Start in the back. Christ is in you. Christ 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 in you. Honestly, let me just say this. It's going to sound a little bit mean. I couldn't stinking care less what you think about it. Still 1,000,000,000% true. Christ in you. 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 Any of you guys, not the seniors, but any of the underclassmen people in the seminary, but any of y'all ever wrestle with low self-esteem? Raise your hand. Have you ever wrestled with low self-esteem? Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, put your hands down. Thank you. Christ is in you. Christ 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 in you. Seniors, do me a favor, would you? Spread out throughout this whole chapel. I want you to rip people's faces right off. Spread out, get everybody in the room, get right in their grill and say, Christ is in you. Spread out right now. Spread out. That's what I got, seniors. Spread out. Once you get gotten, once a senior gets you, then you get up too and join them and get everybody in the room, Christ is in you. Rip their faces off. Rip their faces right off. Not physically. I didn't say that, not physically. Thank you. Yo. Get them all. Get them all. It's the secret to the victorious Christian life right there. Who on this planet will stop you now? Nobody. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit inside of you. Unstoppable. Now, everybody in the room, stand up. Find somebody you appreciate. Give them a hug. Find somebody you appreciate. Give them a hug. Don't give them some sissy hug. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Don't give them some sissy hug. Crack their back. You are dismissed.
hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.